This week on the Out of Chicago podcast, we take you to the place that National Geographic calls the most biologically intense area on Earth. We're going to the remote Osa Peninsula of Costa Rica. Well, welcome to the Out of Chicago podcast. I'm your host, Chris Smith, and this is the show where we introduce you to amazing photo destinations, world-class photographers, and guide you on your photographic journey. In November, the Out of Chicago team and I headed down to Crocodile Bay Eco Resort in Costa Rica. Two of our previous instructors, Matt Kliskowski and Ralph Velasco, both told me we needed to get down to Crocodile Bay to scout a wildlife photography conference. Now, I've been hesitant to do a wildlife photography conference because I'm always worried we couldn't guarantee we would see wildlife, but it turns out we couldn't go 15 minutes without seeing something awesome. We've been running urban and landscape photography conferences since 2014, but our first ever wildlife photography conference takes place this July 27th through August 3rd. It's a once-in-a-lifetime, all-inclusive adventure where you'll learn and shoot alongside several world-class photographers, local expert guides, and connect with a community of passionate photographers. So I got together with the Out of Chicago team after our trip, and we talked about our experience in Costa Rica. I've added some interviews with people that we met along the way on our adventure, and I really hope you enjoy it. It was a magical experience. I hope that feeling comes through here on the podcast. I'm here with Melinda, Michelle, Anne, and Video Bob, and we are at Anne's house, and we are having a Costa Rica reunion. We got back from Costa Rica in November, and now we are going to talk about our experiences and how amazing it was. When we flew down there, we had to fly into San Jose, Costa Rica, and then we had to take another flight the next morning, right? Mm-hmm. So that flight itself was like part of the adventure.
Oh, yes.
Well, first, the hotel they put us in the first night, I think, started the adventure. Because we get there, we get off the plane, and they shuttle us to the San Jose
Hilton Garden.
Yeah. And you walk in and it's this open air, beautiful hotel, which I was not expecting.
And some of us got rooms like with the open air and it was really nice, right? And some of us looked like we were in the church basement.
Some of us got really fancy rooms.
It was awesome. It didn't matter
where you were. The rooms were beautiful.
Well, what I thought was cool, too, was meeting up with Rob and Judy there. Because that was the first time. I mean, we just kind of ran into them pretty much, I think. And then that was what kind of started things off.
So we did dinner the first night with Rob Knight. And so I should say that. So the whole team was there. So Melinda, Michelle, Ann, Video Bob, I was there. I'm Chris Smith. And the whole team was there. But we had our instructors there also. We had Rob Knight and we had Judy Malik and her husband Gary. And it was really cool just to meet up with them that first night, get to know them, and drink our first Tico Sours. That's easier to say. So our first Tico Sours, that was really fun. And yeah, the hotel was great. But they just took care of us. Like, they picked us up from the airport. We knew exactly where to go. They, the next morning they said, be down here at this time. They even took our lunch orders. They're like, we're going to get going right away the next day. So we're taking your lunch order. So when you're out in the vans shooting, you're ready to go.
Well, I mean, that was the start of Crocodile Bay as
taking
kind of
over.
Our host. And boy, they did a good job the entire time.
The entire time.
They were always on top of what we were going to eat. Do we have enough to drink? You know, all these little things that we didn't have to worry about on all these different excursions, every single one of them that we'll talk about.
But yeah, that was the best part, was that they took care of everything. We didn't have to worry about the transportation. We didn't have to worry about, you know, making sure that we were going to see stuff. We didn't have to worry about meals. It was all taken care of, and they did a fantastic job of it all around. We could have done an entire wildlife trip and just stayed right there on the grounds. Mm-hmm. From the hummingbirds to they had the crocodile lagoon, which we'll talk about.
The leaf-cutter ants.
And the sloth was right there. And the best photos I got of the monkeys were when they came to the resort the one day.
And
it was great. The macaws were there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so cool you felt like you were right in the middle of it. You felt like you were in the middle. And it's you know, so you might be listening and going, oh, you're 3 minutes from the airport? Like, you must be, like, in the middle of this big city. It's like, no. This is a little dirt strip airport almost, you know?
It's not an airport. It's a landing strip.
Landing strip, yeah.
You never knew that there was an airport there, ever, the whole time we were there.
I don't remember really seeing any other tourists there other than the people that were at the resort. Some people had come to do the deep sea fishing, but... In town,
at the bar, right at the beach, it looked like a pretty popular area. But
oh, okay.
There wasn't a lot. That's
no.
for sure.
It was mostly locals.
It wasn't like a tourist town, really. It was more just a town that had a few.
Oh, it definitely wasn't a tourist town.
No,
it was a small strip. But we didn't do it. But it's gonna be a great place to go shoot some street photography.
Oh my god,
we were
itching. I really wanted to do that.
I mean, you think street photography in Chicago or New York? And yes, this may only be one street, but
well, they also
travel. Yeah,
they had like a chocolate. Excursion.
The cacao farm is going to be one of our excursions.
They would make chocolate and all that.
Yeah, so Ralph Velasco is going to be taking people to go to the cacao plantation to see how they make it with the, you know, local people. But I think shooting downtown there, like all the buildings, I mean, it wasn't a Starbucks and a Panera. It was,
Starbucks.
The local hardware.
But every time we drove through, all of us were up against the windows going, oh, I wish I could photograph that. Oh, I wish I could photograph that.
Right, because it was like, wait, is that like a red bicycle against that bright blue building? It's like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah, it's just so many colors and so much texture to the town. Really cool.
And really good ice cream.
And we got good ice cream too. Yeah, the rolled ice cream.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
That was really good. So that first day without Melinda, we all loaded up in a couple of vans. And that's how this place operates, is they've got like 6-7 different vans. They're all 4x4 vans so they can, you know, get through the rivers. And like, right, we had rivers going over the road.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that we all fit in there. And
10 passenger, right?
So they'd have a few different rows. So it'd be a couple people in each row. And then we wouldn't cram them in too much, but a couple people in each row. And then in the back, they had a couple of coolers, which every day had lunches and drinks and
snacks,
Imperials,
and tons of water. You know, you never had to worry if you forgot your water or. They just had everything covered.
Right.
It was amazing.
And our guides.
And that's where we got to meet our guides. And that really is what made the entire experience for us. Yeah. So let's talk a little about it. Because the guides took care of all of the food and they drove and they did all of that. But really, it was their knowledge of the area and the knowledge of the wildlife. So we had four different guides, right? We had Dennis, who I think is the head guide.
Mm-hmm.
We had...
Diego,
Rainer, and Alberto. And the four of them, they each had their own specialty, and they were just phenomenal in how much they wanted to help everyone.
They all had degrees in what they were doing.
A lot of them had degrees,
Rainer
especially, I know.
They really knew their stuff inside and out. It was amazing.
And they were photographers,
which was
a piece of the puzzle that we did not expect.
And you know what? I heard they were. And even like Matt Kluskowski said, oh, yeah, these guys know what they're doing as far as photography. And still I was like, okay, yeah, well, yeah, I get it. They can take pictures too. But no, they really, really understand photography. But not just that they understand it, understand photography, but they understand how it relates to what we were shooting there.
Yeah.
And to me, the best example was when we saw the hawk in the tree. We had an entire day where we did mostly bird photography. And some people were like, that was not my favorite day, but but we did bird photography almost the whole day. And if you do bird photography around Chicago, it's like just 5 minutes there is a million times better than spending a whole day here around Chicago. But when we saw the hawk in the tree, but the background behind it was all blue sky and some leaves, and it looked really bad. And Dennis is driving, and I'm shooting from inside with the van door open. I'm shooting the hawk so he doesn't fly off. And Dennis is like, hold on. I got this. He pulls up like 10 feet. He knew exactly where to go. And I had a perfectly green background behind the hawk. He knew exactly what to do. So in every situation, they knew where to stand, you know, what settings maybe to use. But it was mostly like where to be.
Just a couple feet this way, a couple feet that way.
Right.
Look this way. Here's the light. Here's the background. Like, just inches, they could tell. Like, they were really good about and well, spotting everything.
The spotting was just crazy. It was like they're supernatural.
That might not have been
this.
Real. That might. I think they might have planted a couple of things.
It felt like it.
They planted the mother and baby sloth like right. A tree, right in the perfect spot for us. It was amazing.
They would say, "Oh, there's a bird, you know, whatever, da da da, over there." And it's like, I can't even see it. I can't. I have no idea what you're pointing to. And then after you see it, after like 10 minutes where they're, no, there, and they're pointing lasers at it and, you know, everything else, finally you're like, oh, how could I not have seen that?
Right.
But they are so good.
And again,
so
Matt Kliskowski and Ralph Velasco both said, they're like, these guys are going to find so much stuff. And so my goal from the beginning was looking out the side of the van or whatever to find one thing and be like, hey guys, look, there's something on the left. And not one time did I ever see anything that they hadn't seen.
Well,
not once.
I think that's the advantage of doing a conference like this. Is if you went there on your own, you would never see
or even if you
most
just get a guide
of what you saw.
Honestly, it'd be
that,
a waste of time.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And to not have a guide who isn't a photographer, because that was so huge where, you know, it wasn't just, oh, let's go look for animals and get the, whatever those are, the scouting, you know, the bird equipment. I don't know, you can fill that in with whatever. But, like, these guys were, they would spot it. They would know that it, if it was even worth our time to photograph, you know, if it wasn't worth our time to photograph because it was too dark or there was no opportunity for it to move or whatever, we would move on.
Well, I like, too, that they gave you time to go do that because a lot of time, like tours you get on and it's like, okay, you've seen this and move to the next thing. This was so much more about what we were trying to do. And they would have stayed there all afternoon on one place if we really thought that was what we wanted
to
do.
And that's a great point, yes. Oh. There was not one moment that I ever felt rushed or like I felt that I was imposing on anybody to take a picture of what I wanted to take a picture of. Not ever.
You know, I went on this adventure thinking that it was going to be all about photography. And I think the thing I came away with is I learned so much about the culture. I learned so much about the people, about the history. I remember the first time we got into the van, Rainer was, you know, in the front seat, and he turned around and he started telling us about the history and how the, you know.
Things here, conservation started very recently, less than 40 years ago. Before that, what was conservation in an area like this? Though we were loaded with jaguars, pumas, tapirs, scarlet macaws, all of them highly endangered species. They have a really good population here. But over 40 years ago, nobody cared about that. The main economical activities, gold mining, logging, and cattle. Turkey vulture. It wasn't until recently that the ecotourism really took over. You know, visitors such like you has transformed this area. To give you a good idea, 40 years ago, the forest cover here was like 60% less than what it is now. Contrary to everywhere in the world, in the Osa Peninsula, the forest, the ecosystem is growing back. It's coming back again because of the ecotourism phenomenon. Many places that used to be focused on cattle, logging, now are working with tourism. They have lots of trees, a big garden, all of the things that required, you know, to get birds, monkeys, slots, and all of those things that we want to see.
The answers to everything. I would ask the most obscure question about a flower or, you know, a botanical subject, and animal behavior,
right,
and everything. They are so
just the animal behavior too. Like when you're photographing them, they're basically like, they're going to jump from right there to right there. That monkey is going to go right here from
right
there. Right,
that was
and this
very helpful.
Because you're sitting there waiting for the shot, and you're like, oh my God, they did exactly what they were going to say. Or the birds, like, they're going to fly back and forth, the macaws, you know, going back and forth
to the
different
tree
trees.
To get
and, like,
the
this
almonds.
One's going to come back. And
here's the next one that's waiting in queue.
Yeah.
The squirrel monkeys were the craziest, right? Mm-hmm. They were so small, and they never stood still. But they would keep saying that they follow each other. Once you see one jump from one branch to another, the next one will too, and then the next one, and they'll all do the same thing. So Dennis would be like, all right, hey, stop. Stop screwing around. Focus on that branch. You see, it's got a little white thing. Focus on that branch, okay? And now wait. 3, 2, 1.
There
goes. And it's like, that's exactly what happened. It was crazy. So, yeah, it was that made it really fun.
Yeah, the guides were amazing people. I mean,
guides, but we truly fell in love with them.
We became friends with them.
We did.
They literally, for our macro sessions, would literally go into the rainforest and find the critters that we were going to photograph and then have them set out for us to get these amazing shots. So the red-eyed tree frogs and the poison dart frogs and the fertile ants, like the scariest, most poisonous snake in all of Central America was there. I mean, these and the way that they handled them and got them ready for us to photograph, unbelievable. I mean, I had no idea that they were not like caged critters. These are things that they found in the rainforest right before we're there to shoot.
Well, and they were very careful with them, you know, like making sure that the animals were okay, too.
Yeah, so they weren't stressed.
You didn't feel like you were stressing them out.
If you were there and you were into doing reptiles, you would see, you know, all the snakes, all the lizards, everything you ever wanted to see, if that was your thing. But if maybe all you're into was birds,
you
could go the entire week and only shoot birds.
Judy's pictures are beautiful.
So Judy Malik's going to be one of our instructors, and Judy and her husband Gary, their specialty is photographing birds. They live in Florida. They lead workshops in Ecuador and all over, and they knew all of the birds. They're like, oh, is that a blah 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 blah?
That
we're
was
like,
crazy.
Oh,
how they? I'm like, I don't know. It just looks like another bird.
Yeah.
But
bird
they
one
knew exactly what it was.
Yeah. On the other hand, there were a lot of things that didn't just look like other birds, right? another bird. Like there were some things that
wow, what is that?
Yeah, that's like a Disney thing. No, that's a real animal.
Well, when he saw those vultures eating the snake in the middle of the road, I mean, and then they were fighting, and I mean, that was amazing.
Well, and that's the other
thing
is, and I this was not what I was expecting either, is that it was just us out on these roads. I mean, there was one day where we saw some other people looking for stuff, but other than that,
and they were birding. They weren't even photographers. Yeah,
but we had the place to ourselves. We were on the roads. We saw just a mom and her son taking him to school on the motorcycle, you know, up through the mountain. You felt like you did not feel like you were in some kind of, you know, resort or touristy place.
So we saw the Grand Slam on that very first day. All four monkeys that live in the area, and it's the howler monkeys, it's the squirrel monkeys, spider monkeys, and
the white-faced
capuchin monkeys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we saw all four of them. And basically, we'd be driving down the road, and they'd say, "Hey, whoa, I think I heard something. I think I saw most of
them. We're amazing.
I think they heard."
We had lunch at, I think it was Matapalo Beach. Does that sound right? I think it was Matapalo Beach. And we just sat out on the logs, and there were all these little hermit crabs running around, and we saw more of those later. And then and they had the coolers with lunch, so the things we'd ordered from the night before. And yeah, we ate there, drank a couple beers, even Anne drank a beer.
And then we saw the white face monkeys right there on the beach, like feet from us.
They were amazing, the one that had been captive.
Yeah, there was the one that Bryce had seen before that had the rope around
its neck.
Oh, really?
And he had seen it before on its own. And now this was like 4 months later or whatever, and it had a baby on its back. So not only had it
escaped,
but
it was
now
a pet.
It's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody's pet, and it escaped.
So, yeah, and it was with a whole family of other white-faced monkeys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really cool. And they were all right there. And, I mean, it was so cool to feel like we were such a part of it, yet didn't feel like we were disturbing what was there.
Yeah. Let's talk about the food.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so good.
It was
so good.
So good.
Well, what was amazing...
It was hard to leave.
...is that we didn't have to pay for anything. What was on the menu and what was available to us was all included in our stay. And it was hard to believe that some of those meals were included in our stay.
It was a menu choice. It was not some, you know, buffet or like, here are your three choices. I mean, it was a full menu.
The fish was the freshest fish ever. I mean, they caught them.
It's a fishing resort. Yeah, they're like, we got
back
30 minutes ago. Yeah.
It was so good.
Cook it or serve it raw. Like, when we got
the sashimi.
The sashimi was
sashimi
tuna
was
the best I've ever.
I suppose I expected like a buffet, right? Like
even
normally,
looking
on
the
a
website,
nice buffet, you know, that's what I thought was we were gonna. But it was a regular dinner every single night, and
it was like going
breakfast.
To a nice seafood restaurant
so
every
good.
Night.
The lunches were good. You got to pick out your sandwiches the night before. They would come around while we were eating dinner, and if we were on excursion that didn't include, that didn't involve us coming back in the afternoon and we had to eat out, they would come and they would bring us the menu and they would write down what we wanted and they would have it all prepared and ready for us in the cooler the next day.
Yeah. Okay, so welcome to OSA Interactive Gardens. We're a private reserve in Puerto Jimenez. We've been working on the project since 2012. It started out as a monoculture chocolate plantation, cacao trees. In the 60s, the Costa Rican government wanted to be the number one exporter of chocolate. That's the gray-necked wood rail. So they subsidized big chunks of land here in the primary rainforest in order to put in the chocolate trees. So they first made a lot of the business from just doing logging. So there was a big rush of logging in the area. And then they planted cacao trees that were coming from the highlands. But we're in a lowlands coastal tropical forest here, and that variety quickly was infected by a fungus that becomes systemic in the plant. And it makes it so that the tree itself is really healthy, but the fruit goes rotten on the vine. So people waited their 7 or 8 years in order to get their first harvest, and all of the trees were sick, and no one was able to harvest from this big cacao project. So many of these plantations were abandoned. When a cacao plantation gets abandoned, it has very dense canopy cover, so the forest can't regenerate on its own. So that's where we came in, and we took out all of the cacao trees in this area, where you have to take them out from the root because they stump sprout back, and now have been replanting forest for 6 years now, where we've done many plant collections for endemic plants that are we're planting for the birds, for the butterflies, for the monkeys and all of the other wildlife that's now visiting us. So now we have a butterfly enclosure with a big butterfly habitat and some trail systems through our property, ponds for the frogs, and we're holding a lot of environmental education classes here and doing the photography workshops as well as tours of just the property and night tours. If you're a biologist, this is the paradise. I mean, if you're interested in wildlife and nature, where I was very interested in plants. I have a degree in plant genetics, and this is just the mecca for those kind of things. And then to be building this with my husband and making a family now, it's really, really exciting. It has amazing energy. I mean, you can tell when you come here that it's just this place just vibrates with life. And it's just one of the last wild places in the world that is pretty accessible and comfortable to live as well.
All right, I'm here with Rainer. He's one of our awesome local guides. And he also, you and Colleen own this place, right?
That is correct. We are developing a project. It's focused on tourism industry, but at the same time, we're doing conservation and education. We are transforming an old chocolate farm into the tropical ecosystem that once here long ago. We're trying to bring it back and use it as a tool for conservation and education. Well, basically, we do from 5:30 on at night is a hunt. Usually, because again, we're bringing the ecosystem back, we know exactly where to go to find what. We have built a few ponds that long ago were here, but they all were drained because of the rice industry, rice fields. So we built some ponds, and this helps big time certain species of frogs. So for example, to find red-eyed tree frogs, mask frogs, we only go to the ponds, and that's easy, they'll be there. To capture the things that came by to have lots of teeth is usually me. That's a manly job. My wife don't like to do that. For example, the spider, the Jesus Christ lizards, those guys can give you a nice kiss, huh? So I get to handle those.
And this is really like the best part about being with photographers was it wasn't just like, look at it, how cool is it? But they put it with awesome backgrounds so that your photographs would turn out really good. And so
contrasting colors and the greenery, or make it look like it's in a natural setting yet, but still have it available for us to...
Because if you tried to go out to find those animals,
these were animals that
you would not find.
These were animals that came out at night.
Yes. Yeah.
So they had to go out at night to get them. So the only way would be if we had flashes and fired flashes on them at night, and we're out
and could actually see them and catch them and have them there long enough to take a picture, which
you would have gotten
is very
one of
unrealistic
them, yeah. I mean, that, what is it, the red-eyed tree frog? Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that's like the iconic Costa Rican
and
thing,
it was my
right?
favorite thing
I mean,
to photograph.
It was like you see
mine
it,
too.
And it's like, wow, that
I can't
is
believe
that's
my favorite picture.
It's like Rainforest
my
Cafe.
My best picture
kind
of it
thing,
is with
you know?
Chris's face behind it.
Yeah. It only made it better.
No, I did not get a good picture because you were like posing behind it.
I photobombed your
you
red-eyed tree frog.
You photobombed my best photo, my best red-eyed tree frog photo.
Maybe you should have gotten some other good ones, too. I don't know.
Yeah, so what makes you so great, Dennis, and so helpful is that you're a great guide and you know all the wildlife, but you're also an amazing photographer.
The nice thing about this is you can play around with. You can get with aperture over 18, 11, 10 to get more details. You can get more artistic with a narrow one like 5 or 4 just to get the eye focus and everything blur behind. So it gives you a lot of flexibility about what you can shoot. And, you know, what we help is just to try to, you know, tell them what is better location, looking especially which is a better position to get better light. And especially because with the animal like that small and macro, the depth of field is really narrow. And so, you know, some areas are better than other ones. And the background is the most important thing, you know, to help to pop up more the colors and the light of the main thing. And in this case, these creatures have most of them are big eyes, so it's cool to get focus in the eyes and get sharp there. Anyway, you know, it's some people need more help than other ones, but the idea is that everyone go back at home with nice quality images.
All right, so on the third day, we did the Sierpe River tour, and we had to drive a little ways to get to it. And like Bob said, it's like all of a sudden the road ended, and they're like, I guess you're going to have to get on a boat now. So,
it's great. It's like, yeah, totally the end of the road. And you're kind of like, it's all right, this is the start of a good adventure. Because, yeah. All right, get us on this boat and let's see where we're going. And it was cool. It was really cool.
And we split into a couple boats. They didn't want more than like 4 or 5 people on a boat. And they did say there was an issue if there was like something on the left and everyone ran to the left, there could be a problem, but it was no problem. They were like,
they were pontoon boats.
They were, but they were great. They were the perfect thing. You could almost lay down on them and get nice and low. Yeah. And you could get out front where there were no walls around you.
You could set a tripod up pretty much if you really wanted to, but that wouldn't have worked that well.
And it was amazing too, because not only did we have our guides with us to, you know, point out things, but the boat drivers were
also guides.
They knew everything also.
All right, guys, welcome on board. So welcome to Sierpe. My name is Ravi. I'm going to be the tour guide. He's Felix, our capitán. All right, so this is Sierpe. It's a small town. So the ocean is that way, about 45 minutes from here. And going the other way is the Sierpe Lagoon. Okay, so we are going first upriver to try to find some monkeys, and we have snakes here, we have crocodiles. The tide is high right now, but we might see some. There is a green heron over there, guys. There is a green heron right there on the bamboos. All right. So we have a lot of birds here. So this is a tidal river. Now it's high tide. So when it's low tide, we have more chances to see crocodiles. So probably on the way back, we will see some crocs, all right?
Dennis, one of the best things you've seen out here on the river before?
American pick-making fishes, really good. Today, we had a really nice sight. We saw a brown-hooded parrot, which are really nice species. They're not rare, but they're hard to find nearby for a good picture. So the group today had a very lucky morning. And another nice, the best sight that I've seen here is a agami heron. It's a very, very rare heron, very colorful, with a beautiful, beautiful heron. I only seen once, and it was here in this river. Also, another called Lys bittern. It's a nice bird too. We saw them one time flying. So, in these areas, could be a lot of surprises. You never know, and that's so excited for me that I've been doing this for a lot of years. You always see something new, and that's it's cool. And this area is really good for birds because, you know, the water lands and the plants around. But sometimes we also have a lucky with monkeys that they played in the banks of the river, and that's fun to watch too.
There's right in front of us.
Here he comes.
Doing pull ups. Look at me, man. I'm strong.
Look at that one in the water. In the water. Right in the water. Look at him. In the water.
Oh, on the branch.
Yeah, the branch in the water. Look at it.
Oh, my God. Right. Well, on that trip, though, the monkeys were the thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Double monkeys?
Oh.
The white-faced monkeys were piling on top
of
each other.
Well, they were fighting each
other
across the river, across your head.
So we saw, we first saw the white-faced monkeys, and then they were getting in a turf war with the howler monkeys. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the fight was starting. And yeah, these monkeys were not happy. They were coming out on the branches. And at one point, yeah, two of the white-faced monkeys were on top of each other, both like trying to look, hey, I'm twice as fierce.
And it made for great shots.
Oh.
I mean,
their facial expressions were hilarious. One was like hanging on the branch inside the water, like with his head hanging above. And oh, yeah, that was my favorite. I got the best photographs at that excursion.
I was a little nervous because, I mean, they pulled our boat up into the trees.
Right.
Basically, there were trees under the canopy, and there was a white-faced monkey probably, 5 feet from us? And I'm like, oh my goodness, is he going to jump in our boat? Because he was that close.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. My lens was almost too long.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't, I had to stand, but it was the closest I've ever been to being, and it was just like you were just immersed in their environment.
One of the
last
days, we did a different boat tour where we went across the Gulf from the Osa Peninsula over to the mainland.
Well, from the resort, right from the resort.
That's right.
Which was really, convenient as that?
Right. The resort is a fishing resort. That's how it started.
They have 38 boats in their fleet.
Yeah. Right.
Which is the biggest fleet in all of Central and South America.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So we got on one of their fishing boats. We got on two of their fishing boats, right? Mm-hmm. And first we went to the wildlife sanctuary on the other side. And it's just a totally different experience than the rest of the time. You guys want to talk about it?
Well, the first thing we had to do was the boat couldn't dock up right next to the water. So you had to be prepared to be able to get wet. But this is what I couldn't believe. I've been to the ocean many, many times. And jumping into that water felt like it was jumping into bath water. That water was so warm and just so awesome. Like,
you are jumping in to your waist.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Especially,
I was
a little
surprised
girl,
by it.
With
a
backpack full of heavy camera
equipment. But the guys,
Except Michelle didn't want the guides. She carried her camera, her whole camera backpack over her heads, and the guides are going, look at those guns.
I had Diego carry mine.
But you don't have to worry because they do. Yeah. They take your camera gear and they put it up on shore, and they make sure that you get there carefully and everything, and then you get up on the shore and kind of get yourself situated.
Like, the only way to get to either of these places, the wildlife sanctuary or the botanic garden that we're talking about, is to go by boat. There was nobody else there.
No other way.
No.
Nobody
else.
It's not like, let's go get our tickets. It was like,
they're expecting us, and we
they met us at the beach and, you know, told
us.
So,
I mean, it was cool that we went there kind of later in the week because we were so excited to see, like, the sloths and stuff. Like, we're seeing the wild sloths with the babies. But then to get up close and personal with them.
Within
a foot.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
My favorite photo.
And
feed them. To feed the sloths.
Well, in Costa Rica, they have both sloths. They have the three-toed sloth and the two-toed sloth. But the three-toed sloth is the one that is up during the day that we could see up in the trees with the babies that we saw several times. But the two-toed, which is the same one that's on the resort, during the day, they're just curled up in a ball sleeping.
Yeah,
you don't see them. But in the sanctuary, they had two that they brought out using some food and woke them up just for us, which was very sweet, and brought them out eating food. And they were just the cutest things ever.
Amazing.
And I have to say that, who was it? Dennis held up branches of palm up for us so that we could get great pictures.
Like, that was the background.
Yeah.
That was the background, so that we could get a beautiful background.
Yeah.
He stood there and held up palms for us yeah. for like 10 minutes.
Right. It
was very nice.
Right. So we saw sloths. I got bit by an ocelot. That was fun. Good times.
Well, and of badger, course, badgery. What was
there?
That?
Was the
little black guy, that little black
the pig
was eating the meat.
Oh, he was cute.
Like oh, yeah.
He was not cute. He was ugly.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called, though.
But the best part was Sweetie.
Sweetie, though, and the monkey. That was outstanding. I mean, this monkey,
the videos that we have of her, like...
She greeted us, though. At the beach, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And she was a spider monkey?
Yes.
Spider monkey, but she was wild. She wasn't part of the sanctuary, just that she hung around there all the time.
Well, she was rescued at 4 days old, and her mother was killed by poachers. And they rescued her, and she was the lady that runs it, who happened to be on vacation while we were there. But that's who Sweetie knows the best, was that lady that runs it. And she knows that she's very comfortable with people, and she comes down.
And she is wild. I mean, she...
And she is wild. Yeah. She does not live in a cage. She does not live... She can go wherever she wants, but she chooses to stay in this area. And she would come down and greet the people, and... she would come over to you and she would touch your hand with her little hand and tell you to like itch her shoulder.
She would touch her hand to your hand and then touch her where she wanted to get scratched.
And then she'd move it to another place.
And then after you stop and she'd do it again. Oh, scratch my neck. Scratch here.
Oh my God, that was the
best. It was so crazy. Experience. And you know, having that kind of an intimate experience like that is just, I don't know, that was definitely the highlight for me. Yeah.
But
the whole trip.
I don't think you could do that anywhere else. I mean, I don't think that you could go there without the connection of Crocodile Bay. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that you could just plan a trip to
It's very remote.
Yeah.
Very remote exclusive. And very much like Anne was saying, just trying to stay private and, you know, not noticed and all those things so that they can take really good care of those animals.
I just thought that was such a great experience.
Cool. It was fun. It was
and then
fun.
As we decided to move on and they decided to show us more of what they work on, Sweetie went with us and she would choose usually one of the big guys and hop on their shoulder and then she would just go along with us riding along. It was adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then she got into my camera backpack.
Yeah, you had to be careful.
She was a little sneaky.
She unzipped the zippers. Yeah, she was pulling stuff out of the top of my camera.
She was pulling your wallet out.
I think so, yeah.
I missed that.
Smart money.
So.
A certain credit card.
Yeah, have you noticed any charges lately?
Yeah, bananas.
Grapes. She loves grapes.
Sweetie.
So that was great, but then we got back on the boat and we went down the Gulf again and we got off at, can you say the name of it, Anne? This was the only reason Anne wanted to come.
Oh, no, it's not. Okay, I'm going to butcher it because I don't speak Spanish, but Casa Orquídeas.
All right, the Orchid
Garden.
House. Garden.
Mm-hmm. Botanico. It's a botanic garden that has orchids, but not just orchids. It has all the native plants. I think it was about 15 acres, maybe a little less. So, you know, you could totally cover the whole garden in the time that we were there. And it was really spectacular, really beautiful. And we were the only ones there. Yeah. Can you imagine going to a botanic garden and being the only people there? So we had our lunch there, and then we walked around the garden. I spent most of the afternoon with Diego, who pointed out every single plant and what it, you know, talked about the medicinal use of that plant or the culinary use of that plant, all these cool flowers that I had never seen. Just amazing things. And well, you did a post this morning on Instagram that really impressed me because you talked about how you really don't like shooting orchids in an exhibit.
That's the only way we really ever see them, right?
Right.
In an orchid show.
Right.
And you're under harsh light.
Exactly.
You're
the backgrounds are
awful.
So yeah, I just wrote an article about this, about how difficult it is to shoot orchids in an exhibit. But you know, but you can do it. It's just there's a lot of challenges. But this was amazing because the orchids, you had beautiful green backgrounds. You just lined yourself up with the trees off in a distance, and you had solid green backgrounds. It was,
yeah, it was really cool. And we had great light.
It rained. Had raindrops on flowers. But it wasn't just orchids. It was hibiscus, torch ginger, all kinds of bromeliads, all kinds of things, beautiful leaves with patterning and raindrops. I mean, there was just, it was so hard to leave. I mean, I don't know how much time we had there. I totally lost track, but I could have stayed.
Yeah, and then back onto our boat again, like back onto that beautiful beach. Like, we could have photographed that beach with the palm trees, and that was gorgeous.
And the storm coming in.
Yeah, there was a storm, so they wanted us to get going.
See, I left early, remember? I went.
Bob did the Crocodile Lagoon. So back at the resort, the Crocodile Lagoon had crocodiles, caimans, all sorts of birds, great flowers there too, right?
Yeah,
there's some really
beautiful flowers.
But what I was interested
in,
earlier in the week I'd been walking around and saw the leafcutter ants, and I don't know, they're just fascinating. I mean, you see these little roads through the jungle, right?
Everywhere.
They're just carrying all these little leaves, and then when I was talking to Diego about it, I mean, They have, you know, smaller ants that are checking out the leaves to make sure that the right leaves.
The quality control.
Yes, like the quality control ants. And then they're at the main, what is it, the hive,
nest.
Nest. They have these bigger ants that come out if, like, the nest is threatened. So I went and I shot that for a couple hours. And
doing all video.
I haven't had a chance yet to work on it. I can't wait to put this together.
If you can't tell, we're really excited about this event we've put together. It's unlike anything else that's out there. Really, you know, where else can you go and get all these different photographers, each with their own perspectives and each with their own specialties? I mean, if you want to come and just photograph birds the entire time, you can. If you want to see the monkeys and the sloths and the birds, you can. But if you want to get that cultural experience too, and if you want to shoot flowers and plants, Anne Belmont is there, like one of the world's best flower photographers, to work alongside you. So, I mean, there's so many different ways to enjoy Costa Rica, and by putting this all into one event, I mean, there's really nothing else like it out there. You can do a workshop with one photographer and just learn, you know, okay, they love to photograph monkeys, you'll do that the whole time, but in this case, we're going to do landscapes, culture, flowers, wildlife, birds, everything. So, it's going to be a really special event. I hope you can join us. Registration closes in just a few days on February 15th at the end of the day. If you're listening to this after that, email me. My email is chris@outofchicago.com. You never know, maybe a spot comes available and we can fit you in. So I hope you can join us, and it's going to be a ton of fun in Costa Rica. And even if you can't join us, Costa Rica is great. You got to get there, and Crocodile Bay is great. So thank you to Crocodile Bay and to all the people, all the guides there. And we hope to see you there in July. We're going to be going, I don't know, did we even say this in here? July 27th to August 3rd. So hope to see you there. It's going to be a magical time in Costa Rica. All right, see you there.